If you would, take your Bibles tonight, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And all God's people said, Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings on our life. Thank you for a good day that you have given us. You privileged us to be together this morning and then again tonight. We are grateful and thankful for that. And as we open your word again tonight, and as we have read it, and as we begin to look at it and study it, we pray, God, that you would give us clarity. You would open its vast resources to our minds and to our hearts, that we would be able to see truth and see it clearly, and God, that that truth would cause us to worship and glory in who you are. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts and open our minds to these things, and God, that our time together tonight would not be fruitless, but would be fruitful, and our hearts would be rejoicing in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and in our God. Lead us, guide us, and direct us tonight as we look into your word. We need your help. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we are looking at the almightiness of God. And what I am trying to argue in this series of messages is that there is nothing more mighty than God. He is almighty. He is mighty over all things. And if God is almighty, then there should be nothing that should cause us to fail to trust God. If God is almighty, almighty over all things, then there should be no thing that would cause us to fail to trust God. He is trustworthy in every situation, in every circumstance. Amen? And if something happens, or if something doesn't happen, it is not because God doesn't have the might to prevent it or to cause it. He may not will it to be. So there may be things that we don't receive or things we do receive because of his will, but it will never be because he lacks the might or the power. He may not be willing, but he is never at a loss of power. Now, sometimes we think, and it is sometimes wrongly taught, and what is wrongly taught, I think, in some situations, is the doctrine of dualism. The teaching of theological dualism says that there are two opposite powers. One is good, and the other is evil. These two powers are both eternal, and they are independent of one another. Each equal in power, and neither dependent on the other. It sees God as the good God, and it sees the devil as the bad God. And these opposite powers that have equal power and independent power, these opposite powers battle it out. They war it out until ultimately one will win over the other, and we hope that it is the good God winning out over the bad God. And I would say tonight that the Bible never does teach that, and it never does present God in relation to the devil that way. The Bible presents God as being almighty even over the devil. And so tonight, I want to give you three things from Job 1, 6 through 12 that we clearly see the almightiness of God over Satan. Number one, God is mighty, almighty. He is mighty over Satan in their existence, in existence. Now go back up to verse number 6. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, theologians believe that these sons of God are angelic beings, both good and bad. And they come before God to present themselves, and the head angel, Satan, also comes before God to present himself. Now, there's a couple of things here we need to remind ourselves of. God is an uncreated being. God is eternal. He has no beginning, and he is everlasting. He has no end. There was never a time when there was not God, and God has always been. However, Satan, although he is chief among God's creation of angels, is still a created being. He had a beginning. Amen? He is not eternal, but he is a created being of God. And just as all things are created by God, but God, so Satan is a created being. He is a son of God. He is an angelic being, although he is now in a sinful, fallen state. So, even in the existence between Satan and God, we see the difference, and we see that the Creator always has rule and reign and authority and might over that which he has created. Amen? So, we see here God is a uncreated being, a being that has always been, and there never has been a time when there was not God, yet there was a time when there wasn't Satan. He was created by the power of God, therefore he is under the might of God. And then let me say, we also see here in this passage that he is not only created, but he is chargeable. Or, we could say, he is accountable. Say amen. Now let me say this. God is not accountable to anyone. God never has to explain what he does, why he does it, and when he's going to do it. There's no one who can question God. There's no one who can counsel God. And there's no one that can bring God before them and demand an accountability of God. Now, God does things I don't understand. But God doesn't have to explain anything to me. He's God. And he doesn't have to give an account to anyone. However, Satan, being a created being, does have to give an account for what he does to the one who has created him. And so we see here on this day that the sons of God came to do what? To present themselves before the Lord, to give an account of what they have been doing and where they have been doing it. And the Lord said here to Satan, "Where you been?" And Satan answered, "Well, I've been going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Notice that Satan didn't say, "It's none of your business." Notice Satan didn't say, "Never mind." When God asks a question, Satan must give the answer. And Satan, although he is a fallen angelic being, he still must give account to God. All things must give account to God. Why? Because he is almighty over all things. So it's real hard for us to latch hold of dualism, of this equal and non-dependent good and bad in the world, when we see that the bad is a created being of the good, and that the bad must give account and must receive counsel from the good. Why? Because God is in charge. Because God rules and reigns. Because God is not accountable to anyone, but everything else is accountable to him. So we see here that God is mighty over the devil in their existence. Number two, God is mighty over the devil in their essence. In their essence. Now notice again what it says here in verse number 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where have you been? What's been going on?" Now let me stop there for just a second. It's not as if God didn't know. The Lord's just trying to get a conversation started. Amen? "Where you been?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Now, one thing we need to realize here is that God is an omnipresent God. In other words, God is not only confined to one place at one time, but God can be many places at one time. Matter of fact, God can be every place at one time. The idea here is that not that God is divided up and is everywhere at one time, but God is so big that all of his creation is sitting in front of him in all of his largeness and all of his bigness, so that the littleness of his creation compared to the bigness of who he is, it all rests in his presence. He's everywhere in his creation at one time because of his vastness. But understand this, Satan is not omnipresent. Satan cannot be two places at one time. Satan cannot be every place at every time. But the goings and the movement of Satan can be confined to places and times, and we see that here, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. There's nowhere, anywhere in Scripture that the presence of God is classified like that. God is present. He doesn't walk to and fro. He doesn't walk in and out of the earth. He is everywhere at every time, and Satan is not. Now, he has a lot of demons, right? They can only be at one place at one time as well. And sometimes we say, well, Satan's been on my back this week. Probably not. Satan's probably got bigger fish to worry about than me and you. But he can't be everywhere at the same time. Amen? If he's at your house, he can't be at my house. He is not omnipresent. God is. Satan is not. So in the very essence of who they are, there is one who is greater and one who is lesser. It is God who is omnipresent. It is Satan who is not. Secondly, notice here that Satan is not omnipotent. Notice what he says here. This is remarkable. The Lord says to him, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's perfect. He's upright. He's one that fears God and eschews evil. And listen to what Satan says. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear you for not? Does Job fear you for no reason? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What's Satan saying? Satan is saying, I can't get to Job. I can't get to Job's stuff. I can't get to Job's house. Why? Because you have built a hedge around him. You have built a hedge around his home. You have built a hedge around all that he hath on every side so that I can't touch it. In other words, the omnipotence of God, the all-powerfulness of God, has made it so there's nothing that can happen unless God allows it to happen. And for anyone to touch you, and for anyone to touch me, and for Satan himself to touch you and to touch me, there has to be the removal of the hedge that Almighty God has built around us. Satan may go to and fro. He may go in and out, but he can't touch God's people unless God allows him to touch God's people. Satan is not almighty. God is almighty. Satan can't do what he wants. God does what he wants. Satan can't just have free reign. God has free reign, not Satan. And so a hedge is made about Job, a hedge is made around his house and all that he hath on every side so that nothing can touch him, not even Satan. Now, Satan, I think, is the most powerful, he is the most powerful being that God made. He is, in his fallen state, much more powerful than we are. However, he doesn't begin to compare to the power of Almighty God. Why would I worry about Satan when God's my God? Why would I worry about that when my God is Almighty and Satan is not? So in their very essence, God is omnipotent and God is omnipresent and the devil is not. Amen? Number three. God is mighty over Satan in employment. Can I say this? The Lord doesn't carry Satan's water. Satan carries God's water. Amen? Although Satan is a fallen angel, he still is a servant of God. Amen? Now notice a couple of things here. Notice what what the Lord says to Satan after he says that he has his hedge built around him and that he has blessed his substance. Do you know something that Satan can't do? He can't bless your substance. He doesn't have the power. God does. He doesn't. Now watch this. Satan says, but if you'll put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath. In other words, if you would loose the hedges so I can get to him, if you'll give me the privilege, if you'll give me the permission to touch all that he hath, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto him, Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So what does the Lord say? Go. Go do it. Who's doing the delegating? God or Satan? It is God who is in charge. It is God who rules and reigns. It is God who is almighty over all things that does the delegating, and nothing is delegated to God. You understand, we put God in no position of obligation to us. God is not obligated to anyone or anything. God does only what God desires and pleases to do. He doesn't feel compelled. He doesn't feel guilted. Nothing is delegated to him. He is the one that delegates. It is the one who has all power that delegates to those who are lesser and under him. What do the angels do? They do the bidding of God. What do the angels do? They do whatever God tells them to do. What do the fallen angels do? They're still under the almighty power of God. And here Satan will do exactly and only what God tells him to do. He's on an errand. He's an errand boy for God. That's what Satan is. He's an errand boy for whatever the almighty God desires for him to do. Understand this, it is God who brought up Job. Not Satan. God said, have you considered my servant Job? You thought about him? You thought about messing with him a little bit? He's perfect. He's righteous. He's upright. You thought about him? It is God who brings up Job to Satan. It is God who initiates the conversation so that he may delegate this to his servant. All Satan is a created servant of an almighty God. The delegation. And I would say it this way. He is a devil, but never forget, he's God's devil. He is on God's leash. Amen? Now notice this. Not only does God do the delegating here, but God does the determining. God is determinate in all things pertaining to Satan. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. All that he hath is in thy power. His children, his children-in-law, his goods, his house, his wife, his animals, everything, you can touch it all. But you can't do anything you want. You can't touch him. Do you see how God determines what Satan can do? God sets forth the boundaries of where Satan can go, and Satan cannot step one inch over the boundaries in which God Almighty sets for him to go. Touch everything but him. To him you are not to put forth your hand. And it's not as if Satan goes, whatever, when I get out of your presence, I'll do what I want to do. No, 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 no. Satan can't do anything because he is never out of the presence of an omnipresent, almighty God. I kind of think of it this way. God took away the hedges on everything Job had except the hedge around Job. And Satan could not get through that hedge. Satan doesn't determine what he's going to do. Satan may desire us, he may desire to sift us like he desired to sift Peter, but he doesn't sift anyone that God doesn't give him the permission to sift. He doesn't do anything that God doesn't give him the permission to do, and he goes no further than the boundaries and the lines that God sets. Amen? It is the devil who is employed by God. Not God who is employed by the devil. Amen? So this cosmic war that's going on between equal good and equal evil is not true. There is evil in Satan. There is evil in Satan and his demons, but it is not equal. Amen? Now let me just give you a few more ideas here just as we close, just to prove outside of this text that it is God who is almighty. You remember in the garden, it was Adam and Eve and the serpent, right? The serpent beguiled Eve. She gave to her husband. He ate. And the fall was complete. And then after the fall, we remember what happened. God killed an innocent animal to clothe Adam and Eve. And then he began to pass out judgments and punishments on all who were involved. Now, of course, you remember Adam. He said, the woman, do you notice that's the way we do? Sin always causes us to blame someone else. We've refused to take responsibility for our own actions. Adam said, it's her. She said, it was the serpent. And all three of them are punished. Amen? Including the serpent. Including the devil. Amen? Now, how can an equal punish another equal? He can't. It is God Almighty who punishes Satan. Do you remember even before that? The devil, a created angel, sought to exalt himself above God, sought to put his throne above the throne of God, sought the glory and the praise for himself instead of God. And what did God do? Did God just try to coexist with this equal? No. What did God do? Threw him out of heaven, along with one third of the angelic being that decided to follow him. It is God Almighty who throws Satan and his followers out of heaven. Amen. You remember in the wilderness in the New Testament, Jesus is 40 days fasting in the wilderness, and the devil comes to tempt him, and the devil offers him all kinds of things if he will just fall down and worship him. Yet Christ, who was God and man equally, refuses to give in to the temptation. And what did Satan have to do? He had to flee. Doesn't sound like co-equals to me, does it to you? And in the end, God will take Satan and he will bind Satan and all of his followers into the lake of fire for eternity. Doesn't sound like equals to me. God is almighty. He's almighty over nothingness. He's almighty over the mighty. And he's almighty over the devil. there's nothing that He is not almighty over. Why would we not trust Him? Why would we fear? Why would we fear the devil? Why would we fear men? Why would we fear disease? Why would we fear anything when we have for our God an almighty God who is above and beyond and over all things? Should that truth of His almightiness, should that not encourage our faith in Him? And there are lots of things that happen that the devil says, He's not almighty. If He was almighty, He wouldn't let that happen. If He was almighty, that could never be. But we know on the authority of God's Word, our God is almighty. And the devil is a liar. Amen? He's almighty, even over the devil. So there is not some cosmic war going on between good and evil. No, evil is present in Satan, but he will be defeated soundly and without much effort on the part of an almighty God. That's my God. He's an almighty God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessings and for Your Word. We're thankful for the almightiness of our God, who is almighty over nothingness. When there was nothing, there was God, and the God that was there in nothingness was almighty. And out of nothingness, He created all that there is. We know that He is almighty over those who are raised up to mightiness on this earth, presidents and rulers and dictators, although they exert their might and their power here on this earth, there is a God who rules and reigns over and above them, and He raises rulers up, He raises kingdoms to be, and He brings them down. Why? Because He is almighty over all earthly mighty people. And then we know that You're almighty over even the devil. That the devil cannot do anything that You don't allow him to do. That he's Your servant. That he's Your devil. And that You employ him. And one day You will take him and You will cast him and all of his followers in the lake of fire, never to be heard from again. And ruling and reigning for all eternity will be God alone. We are thankful and grateful for that truth, and may that truth encourage our faith, strengthen our resolve to trust in You in all things. We love You, we thank You, and we're grateful that our God has no flaws and has no failings. He is perfect, He is almighty, He is great, and He is wonderful, worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of our trust. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.